Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
There's an Old Testament book. It's a minor prophet. And his name is Habakkuk. Now, I want you to understand something about this prophet. This book that he wrote, that we can read, is not like many of the other prophets where they go through and how they got a message and what the message is, and then they give the message to God's people. Habakkuk is different. Habakkuk is this. It is about his struggling and his wrestling and his personal struggle with the Lord. And so it's written down for us to look into. It's not like there's a message in there that says, "Thus saith the Lord unto you." Okay? It's a message in it, but it's written in the format of his wrestlings with God. How many of you have ever struggled with God or wrestled with God over something? How many of you have ever gotten really frustrated with the Lord? It's okay. He already knows. Just admit it. How many of you have ever shouted at the Lord? How many of you have ever pointed your finger towards heaven and... Okay, there was a problem that Habakkuk was having, and it was this. The people of Judah, God's people, have gotten so far from God. They started following idols. They were doing all kinds of immoral things. There was great violation of God's law and God's desire for his people. And Habakkuk said, "God, I have been praying about this." And he says, "Why won't you do something?" Have you ever said that to God over a situation? Why are you not doing something? I mean, I know you're busy. You're God. But come on. I've been praying about this. Thanks, Dennis. Because it's going to get hotter. God, why won't you do something? And you'll find that. Habakkuk's first complaint in chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And you got your Bible. You go ahead and turn there if you want. He says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help? And you do not listen." How about that phrase? Habakkuk's writing this down. This is just about his prayer life and his personal struggle with God. And he's a prophet. He's one who loves God, honors God, wants the best for God's people. And he says, "How long am I going to call for help? And you don't seem to be doing anything about it." I don't know what you face in your life. Maybe it's not out of concern for God's people or people in sin, but you're going through something. You're saying, "You know, how long do I have to keep crying to you for help? How come you're not doing anything?" God answers him very politely, tells him. He goes through and answers him in the next several verses. And basically it's this: "I am preparing to do something that if I were to tell you, you yourself wouldn't even believe it." I want you to know that God is always preparing. And he has your best interests in mind. I want you to know that. I don't care if you came in this room and you are not honoring God in your life. You are not really living according to his commands. You don't receive his grace and mercy. I want you to know something. God is preparing to do something in your life. That's just who he is, because he cares about you. You could say, "Oh, it doesn't seem like it. Look at these circumstances. Look at these situations." You go ahead and you read your list, but I want you to know that God is preparing to do something in your life too. God says this. He says, "I'm preparing to do something." And he begins to tell, give just a little window to this prophet about how he is going to raise up the Babylonians. Now, these are ungodly people. Pagan worshipers, they are without the living God. They live by their own code, and there isn't much of one. It's a vile people, a vile culture. The list goes on. And he says, I'm preparing the Babylonians to come, and I'm going to raise them up against Judah. And they will go through a very difficult time because I'm sending the Babylonians because my people would not listen to me. Now the second complaint comes from this prophet, and he says, you're doing what? I'm paraphrasing here. You can read through the book. He says, you're doing what? You are raising up even more ungodly people than we are? Even more unrighteous people, the Babylonians? You're going to use them to show your discipline on us? You ever done something like that? God, now you're telling me, and I don't like your answer. My first complaint was, why aren't you doing something? Then God answers and says, I'm preparing something, and this is what I'm about to do. And we go, wait a minute. I don't like that plan. You've prayed about something. You've asked God for something. And all of a sudden, something starts to unfold, and God is doing something, and you go, wait a minute. I don't like how this seems to be working out. How about that, Scott? Wait a minute. You're moving my wife and family, and I'm staying here now? Wait, how is that the plan? They could have said that. You've said these things in your life. Why aren't you doing something? And then as he begins to do it, you go, what? In fact, inside, and you may not say it, but you might think, this seems more like the devil than you, because things have gotten backwards and sideways and it doesn't look right. How can you bring good out of this? Let's be honest. And Habakkuk is going through this, saying, why don't you answer? And then God says, I'm preparing to do something. This is what I'm going to do. And he goes, what? But this is how it ends up. As God begins to answer him again, you'll work your way to the third chapter, which is, there's only three chapters in this book. In third chapter, Habakkuk begins to understand something. And that is that he is going to put his faith in God regardless of what circumstances or situations unfold. That he is not going to base his faith upon circumstances and situations. He is going to base his faith upon who God is and his trust in him, regardless of what circumstances look like. You know, we talk about a walk of faith because that's what this is. As a Christian, we put faith in God, who we physically, in this culture and time, we cannot physically see him. Now, as we walk with him and trust him, things show up that we recognize and that we use phrases like this, that sure looks like God. And it's his kindness, and it's his mercy, and it's his love, and it's an answered prayer. And we see people who are walking in faith with the Lord, and we watch them change and transform, and they begin to show up with more virtues that are like God. Oh, they're not perfect yet. They still make mistakes. They still sin. But there's some character changes and some virtues coming out of them that we go, you know what? There is a God. Faith. I want you to hear this. Faith is not faith until it has been tested. Faith is not faith until the believing has prevailed in the face of circumstances that would say, I'm set up against you. Faith is not faith until it has been tested by the impossibility of circumstances. I mean, why should I believe for a keyboard when there's one in front of me? Why do we believe for that which we already have? It doesn't take faith for that. It doesn't take faith to give $10 if you have $10 in your pocket. Faith is not faith until it has been tested by the impossibility of a circumstance or situation. Faith isn't faith until it's confronted by the things we see before us compared to that which we believe. Because that which we believe is different than what is before our eyes. See, faith is not faith until it's confronted with that. Faith is not faith until it prevails against whatever hell throws at you. There are things that you hope for. How many of you have hope? You hope for something to change. You hope for things. And I don't mean just like you're hoping for, you know, the sweepstakes or something like that. I'm talking about you have hope for things to happen in your life or in your family. How many of you have hope for things? There are things that you hope for. Okay? How many of you that have hope for those things, circumstances and situations don't look like that hope is going to be fulfilled? Be honest. Okay. We don't want hope to be just some intellectual idea. We want hope to be a substance, something concrete to fuel our hope, that it would actually manifest. We have to allow our faith to become an evidence of something we cannot see yet. That's what the Bible says. Faith is the substance, something tangible, is the substance of the things that we hope for. And that faith is the evidence that it would stand up in court, that kind of evidence. Faith is the evidence, the proof of things coming that will manifest that we cannot see now. That's what faith is. That's what faith looks like. Faith is not, I got to tell you, my mental picture of faith, my picture of faith is not some glamorous trophy and hardware sitting in a case that people walk by and go, wow, oh, that's beautiful. Do you want to know what faith looks like in my mind? Faith in my mind looks like a barbaric soldier. We're talking not those with firearms. We're talking about those with shield, with sword, with minimal armor, who have been through difficult weather, staying in tents that they set up and tear down and move, and adverse weather, with several days' growth, with wounds they carry that cannot be tended to properly like you and I would go to the emergency room for, and them still standing in a field ready to continue to move ahead and conquer. It's not pretty, but it's honorable. It's not a sight of beauty, but rather a sight of courage. That's what faith is in our life. It is not showing up in suits and saying we have faith. It's about the day in and the day out and the battles that you face, that you feel ill-equipped for, that you are weary over, that you are tired, that you are misunderstood. And yet you have something within you that you believe. And circumstance and situation show up as another army against that which you hope for. That's where faith is made, where faith exists. It's this. You turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. And I don't want us to focus on the armor of God right now. I want you to focus on what faith is, and that faith is not faith until it has been battled and fought against and stood up against. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, the day that fights against you, the things that come and stand against your hopes, the things that come to pull you down in your own faith and walk with the Lord, the circumstances of life that try to drain you as if God isn't answering, and the way things are working out you're not happy with. In that moment, when your faith is being tested and battled against, when that day comes, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. After you have done everything to stand. Listen, I'm acquainted with real life just like you are. Listen, I don't float around in the air at home as if nothing can come against our home or our family or real life circumstances or situations. We're real people just like you. We have histories just like you have history. We were born of earthly parents just like you. Our families were not perfect, just like yours. We're acquainted with real life. I want you to know that my appliances break just like yours. I want you to know we have conflicting schedules. I want you to know that my wife and I have disagreements because she's wrong. I'm kidding. We're acquainted with real life. I know you're all looking at Sue now. Is she laughing or is she mad at him? She lives with me. She's used to me. We walk through real life where real faith has to be exercised, where real convictions. So I don't want you to sit in your pew and say, it's easy for you to stand up there in your nice little brown suit and tell me this. Our situations are different, and maybe yours right now are more difficult than ours. Hey, we have family who doesn't know the Lord, just like you might. Faith is not faith until it's been tested. And until we have done everything, I want you to say this, until I have done everything to stand. I know what it is to grow weary. I know what it is to want to throw in the towel. I know what it is to be tempted to say, this just ain't going to work out. Woe is me. And you show up at your pity party and you have a cake in your own honor and nobody else is there. Listen, I know. Were you tempted to give up? But I've got to come back to this question. Have I done everything to stand? Or is there something still left in me that will believe, that will take actions to believe, and that when I'm exhausted, I'm still going to stand my ground in my faith, in my battle, I'm not talking about being mean and being harsh with people. I'm talking about having a conviction of faith to stand. The aggression is in the conviction to stand in faith, in hope. I'm not talking about being mean and aggressive with people and mistreating them. No, the weapons we war with are not carnal or human in nature. They are a resource of God in our life because we believe in Him enough to be transformed and changed and growing to become more like Him. That faith is real, not religious, not games. But a faith and relationship that's real with Jesus in the stuff that we face in life. If you've been told that you've done this too long, this is the history of your family, it's just a cycle, it can't be broken, I want you to know that that is a lie. Jesus Christ breaks the cycle in people's lives all the time and in families. The cycle of sin. That's what we remember. That's what we know He did and who He is. That His blood has that kind of power. And that our faith in that. And you say, yeah, but I tried to put my faith in that. And then, you know, stuff got worse and it got hard. And have you done everything in your faith to stand? Or did you just expect that now that you believe in Jesus, all the circumstances and situations and people in life are going to go, oh, they're a Christian. Okay, we got to do everything their way. Your faith is not faith until it has been tested and it goes in the battlefield and it's in the arena where it is attacked. That's real life. Faith is not faith until it stands on the field of impossibility. And if you're saying, I'm tired, it feels like I've done everything, I want you to know when faith dies, there is no life. There is no life. Can I borrow this? Come here, dude. I want you to lay down right here. Your head towards the people. Yep, the people. On your back. Sorry. When your faith, at moments where it felt strong, but circumstances, situations continue to fight against you. I'm not just leaving you there. I'll be with you in a minute. And you are about to throw in the towel on your faith because you're tired, you're weary, and things are not changing. You feel like God is not answering. And when He goes to answer, you don't like the answer. You don't like His plan. And you are ready to throw in the towel, and you feel like you cannot prevail, and you have been beaten. Then it is time for us to grab the paddles of His word and His promise and His character and His virtue. And we take these paddles in the brokenness of our life and we apply it to our faith, to our heart, to bring life to us again. Boom! These are the paddles for our faith. This is what our faith is based upon. And when we are tired and we feel beaten and we are outnumbered, I have to take the paddles poof, clear, bang. Are you upset with your son at all? Because I can hit him harder. Thanks for helping me. Thanks for the use of your Bible. You hear me? You find a place where you lay on your bed, you take that word, hold it up, and let gravity drop it on your chest. And you start to go through. Ah. Habakkuk had a complaint with God. He had a second complaint with God, but in chapter 3, he began to understand that though the circumstances and the situations look against me, I am still going to worship you. I am still going to believe. You look what he wrote at the end of chapter 3. Because this was the final result.
He worked through it. He battled. Verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. Circumstances, situations of no food, no resource, no income. And though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You are not rejoicing in your circumstance and situations. You are not saying, Lord, I just want to thank you that we have no income, that we have no food. I just want to thank you that we have no cattle in the stall. I just want to rejoice, Lord, in my circumstance. No! It says he will rejoice in the Lord. Regardless of the circumstance, the situation, he will rejoice, fuel faith, keep it in the Lord. Because though the circumstance looks bad, God is still good. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my circumstance. No, I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. He enables me to escape. He enables me to maneuver around circumstance and situation in faith, led by His Spirit, because I am going to worship Him. I am going to honor Him. I am going to rejoice in Him because He is good, even in the midst of all this difficulty, because my faith is being tested. Not by God, but just by real life, by darkness, by the enemy of your soul who wants you to throw it in. Faith is not faith until it stands on the field of impossibility and does everything it can to stand.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.